The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. A little later on in the show, we'll be casting our eye as to what's been happening in the Nations League over the last 24 hours. We start, though, by welcoming Sid Lowe to the programme because, Sid, the big story today, no doubt about it, Lionel Messi will stay at Barcelona for that one remaining year. But it was the most extraordinary interview from Messi, who in the past, well known as saying pretty much nothing. But goodness me, he put it all on the table and more in this incredible chat.
Yeah, it really was. I think you're right. It was extraordinary to listen to it, not least, of course, because of the context. Now, the context is that when a player stays at a club, when a player is in a position that should be good news, that should be happy news, there was no sense whatsoever that this was a happy ending. There was no pretense that things were okay. There was no kind of, all right, let's draw a line under this and move on. Messi laid it out very, very clearly. I am only staying to avoid a court case against Barcelona. I wanted to go. They knew I wanted to go. I told them repeatedly I wanted to go. I had the right to go. I had the right to go for free. I don't know what happens now. It was just extraordinary. And I was thinking about this earlier on, and you know, you talk about the way that sometimes when there's a problem and people make up and everyone kind of makes a very concerted effort to make things better. Now, obviously, once Messi starts playing, he's competitive enough, he's serious enough, he's committed enough and he wants to win enough that he will probably perform very, very well. But there was no attempt whatsoever, was there, to seek a reconciliation today. This was him saying very, very bluntly, incredibly brutal, the truth that he delivered, which is to say, I'm here because they wouldn't let me go.
And the key to this whole thing, and it's something we've discussed, of course, a lot over the last couple of weeks, was the fact that Bartomeu apparently told him at the end of the season it would be his decision whether or not he wanted to stay or go. He then, of course, told him he wanted to go, and Bartomeu went, hey, no way, you got a contract for another year here.
Yeah, and of course, the legal argument there was an argument about a clause that means that at the end of each year, this is the contract that Messi signed in 2017, at the end of each season, he could inform Barcelona of his desire to leave and walk away for free. The problem was that he had to do that before the 10th of June. We believe there was a window of opportunity, which was the 31st of May to the 10th of June every year. And of course, this year, he didn't do it. Now, there was a legal argument there, which was Messi saying that we can't possibly be in a position in which I have to inform you of this on the 10th of June, when on the 10th of June we're still playing in competition. You know, we're still competing. I'm not going to tell you then. It has to be at the end of the season. And so there was an argument basically about the letter of the law, 10th of June according to the contract, and the spirit of the law, the spirit being this is supposed to be a 10-day period of grace at the end of a season. Barcelona weren't going to back down, Messi wasn't going to back down, so one way of resolving that, of course, is to challenge it legally and go through the courts. But Messi's position on this was not legally watertight enough to be able to risk this. He wasn't going to put himself in that position, and he wasn't going to put any potential buyers in that position, and he wasn't going to end up in court with Barcelona. And that is why this has broken down, and it was extraordinary listening to Messi this evening, because he didn't just say, look, I felt that it was right to be able to go. He didn't just say, the club said, sorry, you didn't announce it before the 10th of June and therefore you can't. He actually added to it. He said, I've been telling them all season. They've been saying to me all season, it's okay, just not now. Let's talk about this at the end. But yes, of course you can walk away. Let's talk about this at the end of the season. And of course, the end of the season was past that 10th of June deadline. And at that point, Barcelona decided they weren't going to be flexible at all. They have forced him to stay. This is the greatest player in their entire history. This is their captain. And he's staying not because he wants to, but because he has absolutely no choice but to do so.
That 10-day window, Sid, why didn't he exercise the opportunity then?
Well, look, I think there are two very clear reasons. One is the one that he offered this evening, and he did address this directly. He said, look, on the 10th of June, we were still playing La Liga. We were still competing. Why would I do it before the end of the season? And I think he's entitled to say that, not least because he'd been given the assurances by the club. Look, don't worry, at the end of the season, we can talk about this. Let's just not do it now. And I must admit, there's a bit of me that thinks that there's another element as well. Now, how much this was a direct influence on this, but I'm sure it would have been part of this. Bear in mind that Messi's exit strategy here, which comes, of course, post the 8-2 defeat, and I'm sure that could well have been the final straw, the one that finally made him say, yeah, this feeling I've had all year that I want to go, I've absolutely got to. But not only did he have to wait to that 8-2, but also, of course, on the 10th of June, his exit strategy is Manchester City. On the 10th of June, Manchester City were not going to be playing Champions League football next season, or indeed the season after.
How is Bartomeu still president, Sid?
He's a survivor. And it's curious, isn't it? Because in a way, this is a huge victory. This is a huge victory for him, but I think it's a very hollow victory. I think it's a very empty victory. Shall I give you a good example of how this has been received, Dan? It is now, I'm looking at my watch, 3.5 hours nearly since this was announced that Messi is staying. Lionel Messi stays at Barcelona is the biggest piece of news in the club's entire history. Do you know what the lead story on Barcelona's website is right now? It's Coutinho goes to pre-season training with Barcelona. So even something like this, because of the way this has been kind of played out, because of the feeling that this isn't really a victory for anyone, this doesn't feel right in any meaningful way, it's not even the lead story on Barcelona's website right now. And I don't know about you, but I think that's really quite sad. How is Bartomeu still there? Well, because he's a survivor, because he keeps finding ways through, because he's resolved this conflict in the short term. But the truth is he hasn't resolved anything. He just managed to, if you like, kind of paper over the cracks. And actually, if you listen to that Messi interview, here's one way of looking at it. Messi says there's been no real plan, there's been no real project, they've been balancing things and just kind of papering over the cracks. His phrase really was fill in the holes as they go along. And when you think about it, that's ultimately what they've done with Messi's future as well. It's to take short-term decisions based on how do we kick the can down the road? How do we put this crisis off for the time being and let it be someone else's problem? Bartomeu will be gone in a year's time. Messi will still be there.
Now, that's an interesting point, Sid, because we're talking about this, that he's got this one more year and then he's free to leave. But in theory, with Bartomeu gone and Xavi coming in, whoever the new president will be and whoever the new manager will be, it's not necessarily a given that Messi will go at the end of next season. Is that fair?
Well, I think it is fair, not least because there was no mention of this in the interview. There was no mention of a promise to stay beyond this year, but nor was there any mention of, I'll see out my contract and this time I really will walk away. Because, of course, he doesn't know what kind of condition the club is going to be in by the end of next season, when Bartomeu is gone, when there's a new president and so on. But there is one really big issue here. Presidential elections will be on the first available date, in theory, the first available date after the 15th of March. Messi can start talking to other clubs formally and officially and openly from the 1st of January. Does he wait 3.5 months before he starts doing that? Does he put an agreement into place? Does he make that decision before Bartomeu goes, or does he try and hang on? And if so, if he tries to hang on and tries to wait, does he find that his options are more limited? I honestly don't know how he will manage that. Right now, of course, and particularly given the way that he spoke this evening, you would say, yeah, of course he'll walk away. Absolutely he will. But you're quite right. The man that he blames more than any other, and that's not to say Bartomeu is the only man responsible, will be gone by the end of next season. So perhaps that changes his mindset.
Right then, let's talk about the football side of things, shall we? Daft question this is, clearly, given he's the best player in the world. Is this a good thing for Ronald Koeman?
I don't think it is a daft question, Dan. I'm not convinced it is a good thing for Ronald Koeman. Now, obviously, look, on the face of it, let's embrace that idea of it being a daft question. Yeah, this is the best player in the world. You want him in your team. And Ronald Koeman, when he arrived, said, I want the best player in the world to be on my team. I don't want him to be playing for someone else. And yet, Koeman also said, I only want players who want to be here and players who are going to give everything. Now, Messi, I think, is competitive enough that he will give everything. And I think he will ultimately play and probably play quite well this season. But also, seen purely from Koeman's point of view, in terms of the expectations, in terms of the pressure on him, in terms of his desire to build something new, there is a little bit of me that thinks that would be possibly easier done without Messi than with Messi. Messi conditions everything you do. Now, obviously, being conditioned by possibly the best player ever is a very, very good thing. But I think Koeman had already started to contemplate other structures, other mechanisms, other ways of making this work. For example, making a promise to Antoine Griezmann that he was going to play a key role. Well, does that still happen with Messi there? Does the role of Dembélé change? Does the role of Ansu Fati change? Does the way that he constructs his midfield change? Does he have to alter all of the pieces around Messi? Now, of course, he would have been thinking this through, thinking that there was still a chance that Messi was going to stay, not least because I'm sure the president would have been saying to him, I'm not going to let this guy go. But I must confess, I think in terms of the pressure on him, in terms of the freedom to do what he wants, in terms of the structure and the identity of his team, and also, by the way, any sense of a long-term plan, because obviously this is Messi in theory for only 1 year, any sense of a long-term plan, this is problematic for Koeman. Now, big caveat alert, it's likely that Koeman only lasts a year as well, so perhaps he hasn't quite got onto that stage of the thinking process just yet.
Sid, I've been perusing the Barcelona website and the top story is Coutinho's return. So you've got Coutinho, you've got Griezmann, you've got Messi still there. Luis Suarez has gone. It's just all completely, I think, higgledy-piggledy is a word I would use.
Well, let's go back to what Messi's description was, shall we? Balancing things, juggling things, keeping things in the air. And when a hole opens, you try and close that hole. There isn't a structured plan. Because, for example, the structured plan this year was, let's get rid of certain players of a certain age. Well, they're trying to force Suarez out, and they will probably eventually succeed in that. They're trying to force Arturo Vidal, they'll probably eventually succeed in that. And they've managed to get Ivan Rakitic to go to Sevilla. But some of the other changes they wanted to make, they haven't been able to yet, and may not be able to. And where's the money coming from to sign, for example, Lautaro Martinez? Where is the reconstruction going to come from? And this is part of the problem. And you listen to Messi again this evening, and as I say, an extraordinary interview. He actually says, I don't know what will happen now. I don't know what the plan will be with a new manager, how these things will work. Nobody knows. Least of all Koeman, by the way, because of course he's working at the moment on a series of assumptions that he knows there is a chance that those assumptions won't be proven to be correct.
Sid, the scrutiny on Messi normally, it is incredible. It's like an A-list Hollywood star, basically. All the focus always on him. That is going to be ramped up even more now. Body language, there'll be lip reading experts. Oh. Every single thing he does will be under the microscope.
Absolutely right. Everything. I do wonder, I mean, look, this is no more than speculative from my part, whether there will be some attempt to try and remove either the privileges, it depends on how you look at this, whether it's privileges or responsibility and pressure on him. For example, will he still be the captain? Because I think it would make some sense now, perhaps, for him not to be. What will be his role in the team? But you're right, every single thing he does will be looked at through the microscope to try and judge what it is he's thinking, what it is he's doing. And in a curious sort of way, we've done that for years, as you rightly say. And what makes his interview tonight so extraordinary is he's come out and said, you don't need to interpret him. He's been absolutely clear cut. Now, will he continue to be for the rest of the season? Or will he now decide, okay, I've said my thing, now I just get on with it and play? But you're right, he will know that every little thing he does will be analysed and reanalysed, and it's going to put a huge amount of pressure on him. And by the way, and I think this is important, on absolutely everyone at the club.
Overall, Sid, just from someone who loves the sport as we do, as we followed it for all the years, it's kind of sad, really, isn't it?
Yeah, very sad. Absolutely sad. I've said this before on the show, Dan, and I'm going to repeat it now. The saddest thing, in a way, wasn't the departure of Leo Messi, the potential departure of Leo Messi, a 33-year-old player leaving a club. Although that was quite sad because we're talking about maybe the best player ever. We're talking about that possibility that the best player ever, or potentially the best player ever, stays at one club throughout his career. And the way that that makes us kind of get back in touch with football at a time when it feels like that's very difficult to do. That was sad in itself. But what was sad wasn't so much that, but the very fact that he wanted to. You know, that Barcelona's situation was so bad that we're in a position where this player of this importance, of this symbolism, who's been at the club for 20 years, who joined the club as a 13-year-old, who's raised a family in Barcelona, who definitely, without any doubt, sees this as home. The very fact that he wanted to go was the terrible thing about it. And now he's staying. But that fact that he wanted to go has not changed. And so this, it's still a sad scenario. And I think it's going to be quite sad in a way watching him play for Barcelona. Now, it'd been quite sad to watch him go. But watching him play in these conditions, kind of under duress, almost a prisoner, I don't know, it's a pretty pathetic way of ending. And lots of people have talked about this. Obviously, the great hope now is that this becomes some kind of Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan-style last dance. You know, a realisation that this is the last one. Let's go and make it absolutely brilliant. I really hope that happens. because at the moment the sense is of this being just a dreadful way for it to come to an end.
Thank you very much then, Sid. Well, listening to that conversation very patiently, Don Shacker and Craig with us. Craig, let's start with you. What struck you the most from this whole situation?
Well, as Sid was saying, it's what's staggering here is that Messi has laid it on the line. If anybody was pottering around when this news came out that he was staying and had an inkling that it was all patched up, well, just listen to what you and Sid were talking about. It is not. And the way Messi laid it out, the whole period of informing Bartomeu, the club knew we were going to that I wanted to leave. The club knew the situation that I was in and they were in. It smells to me that from Barcelona's perspective and the president, Dan, this was nothing less than a betrayal of the best player in the world, a betrayal of his captain, and a betrayal of an individual who clearly and made it clear to the club and to the president that he wanted to go. Now, I know you asked said the question about, well, why didn't he do it earlier within that time frame? And it harps back to the fact, could you imagine if this had become public that Messi was going when the season was still going on? And that's a key point, the season was still going on. If he makes this public and then they are humiliated as they were by Bayern Munich, he carries the can for everything because now he's derailed Barcelona's season by making this announcement. He's upset the apple cart. He's upset the players. He's not focused. And so you can understand why Messi tried to keep this under wraps the way he did, but still informing the club that he was intending to leave as per his contract. This is skullduggery, in my opinion, of the highest order.
Don, you were on this show saying that it's not going to happen, this is all a game of bluff. It's more than that, though. It's much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think the fact that when I watched Messi speak tonight, it was a hard watch, especially when he was talking about his family and he had the conversation with his kids and his wife. And he said his kids were in tears because they didn't want to leave Barcelona, and it was a brutal conversation. That then takes it to a whole new level where you're listening to the words that he's saying. I mean, I didn't think he'd come out of it amazing when he was saying, as Craig alluded to before, when he's been wanting to leave for a long time. I mean, listen, if that's anyone else, by the way, they would get absolutely battered. And we're talking about the best player of all time in the history of the game. And as Sid said before, Philip Coutinho was the big news 3.5 hours after, you know, the whole story broke, which is absolutely crazy. But my gut feeling from the very start, Dan, is I think it was a power play by Lionel Messi, and it has been going on for quite a while because he's seen it unfolding. He's seen the dressing room get weaker. The signings that have come in have been nowhere near good enough to challenge for La Liga and European honours. And I think it's a power play to get the current president gone. That leaves Ronald Koeman probably with a year's contract before then Xavi then comes in and a new president. And Messi, probably a year's down the line, signs a brand new contract. And by the way, the current board, they must be scrambling around at the moment, listening to all the agents offering Barcelona all the very best players in the world. Because if Messi stays, he's going to demand brand new signings and the very best signings. So it might be a massive positive for Barcelona fans right now. I mean, Barca, the club, are the winners because they can stall Messi for a little period of time this season or the current season coming up. But then they've got to deliver on the transfer front and deliver him some world-class players.
Don, you should work for Barca TV. The fact that you've managed to put a positive spin on this incredible soap opera that is being played out is quite something.
I do.
They're not going to get new players. They're not going to go out the transfer market over the summer and bring in Mbappe and Neymar for Messi. Messi doesn't want to be there. He's stuck there.
Why not?
He's at a club that he doesn't want to be at.
He says he doesn't want to be there because he can see the current state of the board members and what they're trying to do. And he's as he said himself, he's been, you know, the club's been filling gaps for many a year. He could see all these results happening. There's no coincidence they've been, you know, battered in the latter stage of the Champions League. But the positive spin on it is, if you're a Barca fan and Lionel Messi, the best player to ever grace the game, is staying at your football club, he ain't going to stay there and play with players that are average.
He has to, Don. He has to stay there. He has to stay there. They're not going to let him go.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is that he could easily, if he wasn't a good character, if Lionel Messi wasn't a good character, you could still stay at the football club, but just not play. He's not that type of character. He's going to want to perform at his best. And the positive spin I'm trying to put on it, by the way, is they've still got Fati. They've still got Griezmann. They've still got Coutinho. They've still got Dembele. They've still got an unbelievable squad of players to work with. If they can add to that, by the way, they're not in the worst position in the world to then try for honours this season. I mean, I don't
know.
They lost to Bayern 8-2, different dressing room, a different Barcelona. There's some unbelievable players there.
8-2 beaten by Bayern Munich.
Listen.
I know that. I get that. But listen, would you not want Coutinho in your squad? Would you not want Griezmann in a squad? Would you not want Dembele in a squad? Would you not want Fati in a squad? Would you not want some of the midfield players?
You're missing the point, Don. Go back to what Sid said. This might seem like a... Sorry, Shaq. This might seem like a victory at the moment, but as Sid said, it's hollow as hell because this club have no scruples. They're a disgrace. He told the president his intentions. This is a club that goes and pilfers a player from a relegation-threatened team because they've got a few injuries, right?
How can you say that's a good thing that Messi told the club that he wanted to leave? If that was anyone else, he'd get absolutely battered.
Listen, every player comes and goes. Every player has a right. Barcelona know what his contract is. Every year he can tell them he wants to go and he goes for nothing. The point is here, Barcelona have gone back the way against their word on their captain and the best player in their history. They now have on their hands, there's another point that Sid and Dan talked about, they now, and Koeman has in his hands, a unhappy star, right, who's got a power battle and a grudge with the president, who'll be bringing that grudge every day to the dressing room, every day to the training ground, and will not be performing like the Messi we know over the last 10 years.
I don't think he will, Craig.
Do you think he's just going to come in smiling every day? Hello, great to be here, even though you went back in your ward. That's not going to happen.
I'll guarantee you now, I bet you Messi ends up signing a new contract at Barcelona, whenever it might be.
Well, who cares? That's not the point. The point is, he told the president his intentions to leave. So in his mind, he'd made his mind up that he wanted a fresh challenge. He told the family it wasn't an easy decision, but here... We've all done this job. We've all moved clubs. It's part and parcel. You got to pack the suitcases, get the kids from school, uproot and move. He had made that decision in his mind and told his family. Now Barcelona and the president have gone back on it. He might sign a new contract in a year's time when everything changes, but it doesn't change anything. That club are a disgrace.
Shaka Hislop.
I don't know why y'all kept interrupting Don there. I was really enjoying that. And I'm now convinced I want Don to deliver my eulogy when I eventually... That was great. That was great. Listen, I understand. If you're a Barcelona fan, you're trying to find a positive out of this. As a neutral, I'm not sure where that positive is. Without question, Lionel Messi is the best player that Barcelona has ever seen. And he has come out in no uncertain terms and said the only reason I'm staying here is because the club president went back on an agreement that we had that was both legal up until COVID-19, but more to the point, a gentleman's agreement between us. And that holds value, or should hold some value. And now all of a sudden you've gone back on that. And the only reason I'm still here is because I don't want to challenge this club in the courts. It doesn't become any better for Roberto Mel here. I don't see how he spins this or sees this any kind of victory of his own. I am convinced that Lionel Messi will continue to be outstanding, will score another 40 or 50 goals and have another 20 or 30 assists. But come April next year, I'm not sure how things have changed for him. If he does sign a new contract, it'll be for 1 year, no release clause, and we keep having this discussion every single April from now until he's 45 years old. This is not a win for Bertomeu. This is not a win for Barcelona. This is just making the best of a really bad situation.
I'm not sure, Shaq, that he will be able to reproduce the Messi-like performances of the last decade. We've all played in dressing rooms with unhappy players. We've had that situation ourselves. When there's a player who feels like he's been betrayed the way he has in a squad that needs a total rebuild under a new coach coming to training every day, ever performed at his best? I mean, I really can't think of one off the top of my head.
Listen, yeah, no, I get that. I totally understand that. But I think you also have to keep in mind who we're talking about. I don't think we've seen a player like Lionel Messi outside of Cristiano Ronaldo, certainly in the modern day game. So you have to have a different discussion about them and what they produce. But back in the land of the mere mortals, to that point, Craig, is you have a dressing room of some aging, some very talented players, and Don mentions a few, who knows that Lionel Messi's upset, who knows that Lionel Messi may not be there come August, September 2021, trying to figure out their own positions, know that it's an unhappy and uncertain dressing room, and that affects them as much as anything else. So why Barcelona trying to build a squad to compete in keeping Lionel Messi? I think everybody's put off their own games as well.
But he's going to be 34 next year, I believe, or thereabouts. I mean, what Barcelona are doing here, and the club president, within his betrayal, are denying this guy to go and succeed at the end of his career. Because as you well know, guys, it comes around very, very quickly when you hang those boots up. Done. Done and dusted. Finished. Now, he's not getting any younger. We've seen Ronaldo leave Real Madrid, which was a big shock and big surprise, to go to Juve to try and finish off his career on a high. What the Barcelona have done here, they've denied this guy the opportunity to go and grace another football club's stadium and pitch. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the money's pretty irrelevant for him, but he wanted change, Don. And Barcelona have denied him that. Where's the positive spin on that?
Craig, listen, I get exactly what you're saying, and you're right about the football club. But when you listen to Lionel Messi's interview, even if terms were agreed with, let's just say it was Man City, and he was rumoured to be coming to Man City, the emotion that I saw in that interview regarding his family, there was no guarantee he was ever going to move. Once he spoke to his wife and saw his kids in tears, you know, that's then a hard sell to your family to leave Barcelona. I get the bigger picture, and I get, you know, at boardroom level, the split, and I get that he's been unhappy for a year or two. But still, to make the move, when you listen and you analyse his interview, it was very powerful.
But what about the part of the interview when he said he wanted to leave?
I think
because he wants to leave, Dan, because he's not happy with the structure at the football club. He's not happy at the current board. He's
but
not happy with the
changed.
Style.
Nothing. And the board is still there. The president is still there.
The average players that he's got to carry, like he's been carrying for many of years.
But Don, it doesn't matter if it's hard for the family to go, because we've all had
that. Of course it does.
No. I understand sometimes players will not make a move because the family doesn't want to go. I understand that. But that's not the point, whether he would have moved or wouldn't, or might move or might not move. The point is, he's clearly laid it out that the president has betrayed his trust in terms of the gentleman's agreement.
Craig, this president won't be there in 12 months' time.
And he'll be 34. He'll be 34 and 1 year closer to retirement.
But he'd still be 34 at Man City.
Yeah,
you build a team around Lionel Messi. You build a team around him.
I don't
agree.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. That took quite the twist. I wasn't expecting that conversation. More from Don and his eulogising ways over on Extra Time. You can check it out. He's answering the questions with Shaka and Gab.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. So today saw the opening round of matches in League A, Group 1 in the Nations League. The Dutch with a 1-0 victory over Poland, thanks to Bergwijn's effort. Meanwhile, it's 1-1 between Italy and Bosnia-Herzegovina. That's where we'll start as we welcome Gab Marcotti into the show as well. Gab, this is far from Italy at their best.
No, that's right. And, you know, you can whip out all the mitigating factors that you like with the fact that, you know, it's preseason and COVID, and this team hasn't played in a very long time. But, you know, after 11 wins on the bounce, you expected a little bit more. And also, all those factors apply to Bosnia as well. You know, even the issue in midfield, where Italy really struggled without Verratti and without Jorginho, you know, in terms of moving the ball quickly, well, Bosnia had their own major absentee in Miralem Pjanic. So, issues at the fullback position, particularly on the left with Biraghi. So it's just a reminder, I think, that you know, this team, while there is a lot of talent there and there's a lot of youth there, they're far from the finished article.
Meanwhile, Shaka, you were tasked with watching the Dutch game against Poland. How would you sum this up for us?
Yeah, you use the correct word there. This was a task. It was not an easy watch, keeping in mind that we are talking about in the Dutch, a team that got to the final in the first edition of the Nations League. But Poland came out to defend and hoped to get something on the break, and they almost did. And even that was being generous, bringing a save out of Cillessen in the first half. But this was all about Dutch, and more to the point, Dutch frustration. And until you saw Memphis Depay kind of dropping into midfield and playing a little bit deeper, brought the best best out of, well, what we've seen in the game in the first half, with De Jong hitting the post, the last kick before the halftime whistle, and then De Jong unlocking that resolute Polish defence. You just weren't quite sure where a goal was going to come from. The Dutch probably had the most joy from set pieces, but even then, I'm being generous. This is a game that you want to forget as a neutral, and if you're Dutch and hoping to go far again, you've got to figure out what you do to unlock teams that sit back, because this was hard watching, and they didn't test Szczesny anywhere near enough as you think they should have.
Shaka, maybe a little bit negative about this game. If only we had someone on who could put a positive spin on it.
It might be one of the other boys, because I was watching Scotland tonight and there was no positives there, Dan. Oh, let me tell you now. I was in Brussels for the Belgium game. One of Steve Clark's very first games as Scotland manager, and they lost on the night. But they played some really good football.
No one cares
Scotland
about Scotland. Why are you talking about that, Don? We're talking about
football.
League One, Group A. You bring up Scotland against Israel.
Because that was the game I was watching. I wasn't watching Italy. I wasn't watching Holland. I was flicking, and I landed on Scotland getting embarrassed by Israel.
I thought before the segment you said you saw Holland. That's why I went to you for the Holland. You said you were flicking.
Well, I did flick on Holland. I flicked on it. I seen Nathan Aki. I seen Virgil van Dijk. I seen some decent football. Wasn't the best game in the world, so I flicked back over to Scotland.
Brilliant. Oh, my goodness. Right, is that it? Are we done with this segment? Just a reminder, ESPN FC with you 7 days a week. Don, as always, with his finger on the pulse when it comes to those big talking points in the Nations League. Hey, some good games tomorrow. Iceland in action against England. That's on ABC at midday.
Then after that, Portugal against Croatia. You've also got Belgium in action, who apparently Don Saw plays Scotland there against Denmark at that game on ESPN+.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it then. That brings us to an end of what has been quite the eventful show. Well, it will continue on Extra Time. Gab, Don and Shaka answering your tweets. Gab, by the way, agrees with Don and the power play. You've got to watch it to believe it. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for all your tweets, the majority of them, of course, about Lionel Messi. And the first one, very complimentary to Gab, who was the first person, according to this message, on the planet Earth who predicted the final result of the Messi saga. Gab, you're the best. And the question, has Messi damaged his reputation by doing all of this?
I think Messi's lawyers, whoever is advising. By the way, I'm pretty sure I wasn't the first person who said this could be, this felt like a power play from Lionel Messi, but thank you that sometimes, you know, people remember when I sometimes get things right.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a power play that worked out though, Gab, was it?
Well, it is a power play because Bartomeu will be gone.
Yeah, but he's still president. He's still president, isn't he? If it was a power play, he'd be gone. Messi be there. Arturo Martinez would be in. Luis Suarez still be there. Everything would be great.
Well, no, because Messi, if it was a power play, then Messi never wanted to leave, right? Wait. He wants to leave to go to Manchester City where Pep's contract expires at the end of the season?
Of course he wanted to leave. It's not a power play. He wanted to leave.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that. I think it was a power play, and then he realized that he had painted himself into a corner perhaps a little bit. But, I think the person whose reputation is most damaged here is whatever genius lawyer told him, well, you know, end of the season, June 10th, makes no difference. Don't worry, we'll win this in court. Or, don't worry, City will put up the money, or at least not the $700 million, but they'll put up enough money that Bartomeu will say goodbye and you get to move to City. None of these things happened. None of these things were possibilities. City were briefing that, yeah, we'll consider this on a free, and we'll happily take him perhaps on a free transfer, but we're not going to also stump up money to get him because he makes a ton in wages. And then you saw Bartomeu's response where, you know, he was willing to die on his sword, metaphorically speaking. And so in the end, we have this situation. I think it was a power play that perhaps in some ways didn't end up working, but in other ways it did, because when you look at where Messi is now, he can still move at the end of the season on a free transfer. As of January 1st, he can go and sign a pre-contract with whoever he likes. He will undoubtedly have a big say in who the next president is, together with, you know, who the sporting director is and perhaps what signings they make. So in the end, it works out reasonably well for Messi, you know, except for that giant hiccup in between, which I think was caused because he evidently listened to the wrong people.
I don't get it, Gab.
Dan, Sorry, I just wanted to point out, and building what Gab said onto the tweet, I'm not sure that Lionel Messi's reputation has necessarily been damaged by this. But one person's reputation has been greatly enhanced, and that's none other than Don Hutchinson. I'll assume that our tweeter did not see the show before sending his tweet in, where Don spent 23 of the 25 minutes telling us that Lionel Messi was not leaving Barcelona, and he said it all along.
Correct. And Gab is right. It was a power play, Dan. You've got to get your head around it.
Right. The president is still there that Messi hates. He would have been gone anyway because of the elections. Yes?
Right, yes. But he won't be there in the long term.
Right, so, but that wasn't going to happen. So that's not worked. What a complete weight, right. So my other power, what was my other power play? What has worked out for Messi?
Well, he didn't get his move. He didn't get his move that he desired. So it was obviously a power play when you think what's going to happen in the near future. He didn't get his move, and Gap's absolutely right.
Is it what am I not understanding here? Messi wants to leave Barcelona. He can't leave because he doesn't have 700 million euros.
Yes. Yes, correct.
So how is that a power play? What has he achieved?
Because he
doesn't want to be at for a year.
Because he has put pressure on the current board, who, like Gab said, he said, if Messi stays, I will stand down. Power play. So when the new election
happens... He was going anyway! He was going to lose the election!
Comes in, we then appoint Xavi, his best friend as manager. Messi wins.
All of that would have happened if he stayed, if he didn't do any of this. That would have all happened.
Right, but first of all, it's by no means guaranteed, Dan, that all of this would have happened, because Bartomeu can't stand again because he's reached term limits, but he has a hand-picked successor who will be running, who will be standing in the elections, and he'll be running against this other guy, Victor Font, who does not like Bartomeu. So if Messi had been the good little soldier and had played along with everything else, then maybe we wouldn't be in this situation. Maybe Bartomeu's guy wins the election.
Right, because Bartomeu's done so well. Like, even without the Messi situation, look who he's brought in, look at the complete mess. Fans will be aware of that.
But maybe they'll trust Victor Font less. You know, it may surprise you, but sometimes people do poor jobs and they do get reelected because they hit upon a vein, or it's a certain moment in time, or whatever. You can't predict the future. I mean, the way I see it is it was a power play, but I don't think leaving would have been Messi's first choice. I really believe it was not his first choice, but he said it's something I'm prepared to do if I don't get my way. And in the end, he didn't have to get his way. He's staying.
Because he has to, because he's legally bound by a contract to stay. How is that getting your own way?
Well, listen, Bartomeu sat down with Jorge Messi and said, oh, by the way, let's discuss a two-year contract extension, right? Bartomeu has been completely delegitimized and completely undermined by what Lionel Messi has come out and said. He said what a lot of people thought. He said what, to my knowledge, no senior player at that club, not even Gerard Piqué, has had the standing to come out and say in public. And I think that's what a lot of people wanted. Look, in the end, you know, if you want to believe that he was determined to move to Manchester City, like, I think it's an option that could have happened. But you know what? Like I said before, the issue with City was the transfer fee. If Lionel Messi says, hey, you know what? I'll take a pay cut, or I'll take something heavily bonus related to free up cash, so that City, you can go and offer Barcelona 100 million. You don't think Bartomeu would have taken it? You really don't? Or 200 million, whatever number you want. You really think Bartomeu would have stuck out for the, oh, we'll take 700 million now, which nobody will give us, and then we'll keep an unhappy Messi for a whole year and then watch him walk on a free in June? You really think Bartomeu is that demented that he would have done that? That would have been his parting gift to Barcelona? Come on.
Right, we've got all these questions. I've got to get. How are we supposed to watch Barcelona now, Shaka? Messi has a broken heart. Now we all do. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I think Messi will be as outstanding as he always has, despite his broken heart. the challenge for Barcelona this season will be the same that it has been for the last two or three. How do you fill the gaps that Lionel Messi needs for this team to be as successful as it needs to be to keep Lionel Messi? Nobody's had the answer. Bertomeu certainly doesn't seem to. And that is a challenge. This is just going to be another season similar to what we've seen over the last two or three.
Don, can you imagine a situation where Messi gets booed next season?
No, not in a million years. Not in
Who's
a million
Who's
going to
boo him? Bartomeu? Come on, man.
How is Messi going to get booed for saying how he feels about the current board?
Well, he's playing a power play.
A lack of amazing signings when he's been carrying this football club for many a year. How's he going to get booed? It's impossible.
Gab, with Messi staying at Barcelona, should Manchester City focus their energy on getting Koulibaly from Napoli?
I think that's where their energy's been all along, is on getting another central defender. The issue with Koulibaly is that, obviously it is a lot of money to spend for a guy in his late 20s, as outstanding as Koulibaly has been. That said, I don't think there's any question that, City could use another central defender. And if you get one of the world's best in Koulibaly, then all the more so.
Which formation, Don, should Chelsea use after all these signings? Kai Havertz, of course, confirmed today.
Don't care. Just want to see them all playing. I want to see Kai Havertz playing. I want to see Pulisic playing. I want to see Timo Werner playing. I want to see Mason Mount playing. I want to see Kovacic playing, because Chelsea are going to be so exciting to watch next season. They really are. I can't wait to watch them. Listen, I hope they do well. I think Frank's put himself under a bit of pressure, but I think he enjoys that pressure. And rightly so. Now he'll be judged as a proper Chelsea manager, not someone that's just come in who was an ex-Chelsea player and got given a year with, his best player, Eden Hazard, leaving in a transfer ban. I like how he's brought the best players in and put himself under that bit of pressure to try and get closer to Man City and Liverpool. They're going to be amazing watch.
You forgot Ziyech, Don. You hate Ziyech.
Well, I love him.
Who has the brightest future? Foden, Greenwood or Mason Mount, Shaka?
I'm going to go Greenwood. I think as a striker, even as young as he is, closer to being complete than the others, than Foden or Mount. And when you see how cleanly he hits the ball with either foot, when you get to see some of his movement and his own contributions, for me, he is the brightest spark of the three.
Gab, why did Inter so foolishly stall on signing Tonali? Tonali, is that what I'm saying? And in doing so, open the door for AC Milan to sign him?
Because it's Inter, and having done something really, really smart and really clever that a lot of people praise them for, and signing Ashraf Hakimi, they decided, oh, we better balance this out by doing something stupid and soiling the bed here. I'm half joking here. The thinking, the official storyline coming out is that obviously Conte likes Tonali a lot, and that's why they were interested in him. But in the end, he had some doubts because they have Stefano Sensi, who's another young player, and Barella's another young player, and he felt that he loves his experienced older players, and he loves Arturo Vidal, and was explained to him that if you get Arturo Vidal with his mega wages, then Tonali might be a little more difficult. And so in the end, he went into in the direction of Vidal. Rather than dealing with a guy who is supremely talented, but it would be his first season at a big club, and as you know, Conte is all about the short term. He's not interested, I feel, in what happens in 5 to 10 years.
For Shaka, what did you think about while in goal when your team has most of the possession in the opposition box? It's a good question, Shaka. What were you thinking about?
Any and everything, Dan.
Yeah, I bet.
You know, at the best of times, I'm not thinking about much.
Would you be planning
Does
dinner?
Not change Where are when the ball's at the other end.
Yep.
Yeah, that may cross my mind on occasion. I don't know. I don't know what to think about.
Did you ever have one of your long blinks?
No. I always make sure and have a nap before game time. So I'm good.
Final question. I'm good. Final question, Gab. Who has the greater impact this season, Hakimi or Kulusevski?
Ooh. I would imagine it's going to be Hakimi because the fullbacks are so important in Inter's system because obviously Hakimi is, you know, he's simply more experienced. He's had seasons at big clubs, Champions League level clubs. Kulusevski is more about the future. And also, you know, while Kulusevski will no doubt get a lot of playing time at Juve, on paper, you know, their front three next season, assuming they don't sell anybody, will be Dybala, Cristiano Ronaldo, and Luis Suarez, or Edin Dzeko if they end up going for him, although Suarez seems pretty close. So Kulusevski is going to have to fight and scrap for his playing time on the pitch, but no doubt he's got a great future. But if your question is next season and impact, it's got to be Ashraf Hakimi.
Good stuff, guys, as always. Thank you very much. Thank you for your tweets. We'll be back tomorrow for more of this. Until then, goodbye.